18. Last week, we continued the study on the contrast between the righteous and the unrighteous. And tonight we're going to go in that last chapter of that section of Proverbs. But the aversions of the unrighteous, a disdain for doing right, will destine one for a life of wrong. And so we saw several things here. The first one is that the unrighteous have an aversion to being content. They have an aversion to being content. They have strife over quietness. They would rather have riot instead of peace. Shame over inheritance. We talked about that a servant, a wise servant, would get the inheritance over a son that causes shame. And then self over surrender. Folks, we need to surrender. That's what this country needs. That's what our church needs. That's what our family needs. That's what we need as individuals, is to surrender. But people just don't want to do that. They don't like to be told what to do. Then there's aversion to right speaking. The unrighteous wants to go out and find as much wrong and listen to it as they possibly can. They mock the unfortunate. They mock the poor, which are created in the image of God. When you mock one of God's creation, you're mocking God. And then also, they set a bad example. Right speaking is not in his DNA. It's impossible for him to do it because he's driven by the fact of evil and then manipulates others through bribery and cannot stop talking. We'd be a lot better off if people just listen. So there's aversions to contentment, aversions to right speaking, aversions to right doing. Regardless of how harsh the correction is, they still will refuse to do right. At every opportunity, they have a penchant for doing wrong. Even when confronted with good, they'll still find something wrong with it. We see that today on the news. Blind to justice, calling rewarding evil and punishing good. Or even when good and right doing is handed to them. When the blessings of God are handed, they still are averse to it. Number four, aversion to relationships, especially when someone needs help. They can't be depended on to help you. And then in verses 18, agrees to anything and then stands for nothing. Verse 19 and 20, finds no good in anything. They are scorners. Folks, there's a lot of good. My Bible tells me this. And we know that what? Everything works for what? For good. To them that are the called according to God's purpose. And has no concern of what their actions have any sort of impact on others. No concern at all. You know people like this? They live in your neighborhood. They are in our government. They're in our schools. They're in our churches. We need to be aware of that. Aversion to peace in their heart. Aversion to peace in justice. Aversion to peace in mind. Aversion to peace in family. Aversion to peace in retribution. I want it my way. I want it my way. Boy, that is society today. And then lastly, just a general aversion to discretion. First of all, finding the right thing. Secondly, saying the right thing. Thirdly, doing the right thing. We have, as a world system today, there seems to be a worldwide aversion to doing right. It's not the same world, same country, same city as it was a generation ago. And definitely not two generations ago. Folks, this is just signs of the times. Christ is coming. I want him to come in my lifetime. John wanted to come in his lifetime. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Are you ready? If you have an aversion for doing right, you better get right tonight with God. So tonight, I've titled this message, Defining Traits. Defining Traits. Now we have, as we've gone through this study on righteous and unrighteousness, we've looked at several times about traits in people. But tonight, this whole chapter is talking about various things that we do. And the point that we need to understand is that our actions declare our traits. Our actions declare what's really making us up. Our actions declare our being. Now, in John chapter 13, verse 35, the Bible says this. It says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one toward another." Sunday night we talked about what is on the inside. Tonight we're going to look about what other people see. When people see you, do they just see another person? Or do they see someone that's been blood bought by the blood of Christ? Someone who's trying to be like Christ. Someone who's trying to do right and not wrong. See, if you have an aversion to doing right, there's a problem here. If your characteristics that other people see are things that are contrary to God's word, there's a problem here. And so we're going to look at several things, seven in fact, about defining traits. And we'll start with a verse out of the Bible, and then we'll look at it from Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 31, we studied this before. It says, "Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways." God gives us a free will. You have the choice to choose eternal life or to reject it. With every choice, there's a consequence. We as Christians still have a choice to either follow God or not follow God. Several months ago, I preached the message that you're either fulfilling Scripture either positively or negatively. And it is all about choices. It's all about choices. And it starts with us. And what we do as individuals will have an impact on our family. What we do as a family, it impacts our church. What we have in our church impacts our community. What impacts our community impacts our country. And what impacts our country impacts the world. So in Proverbs chapter 18, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Through desire, a man having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom." What is this talking about? This dude doesn't want to be around anybody. Do you know people who are just angry all the time? Doesn't want to have any relationship with anything. And anytime they find good, they just scoff at it. That's here. Just leave me alone. I'll do my own thing and I'm not going to do it. No one's going to tell me what to do. And what happens is they seek out people trying to do the right thing and hinder them. That's a choice. Should not be once in a Christian's life. Verse 2. "A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself." See, if there's no desire in a person to do the right thing, you can't convince me that that person's a Christian. If there's absolutely no desire, they have no desire to get an understanding. Christ said, "By their fruits ye shall know them." And it says that a fool, you know, the fool said in his heart, there is what? There is no God. And he delights in stating that. He delights thinking that he's higher and whole and more knowledgeable than anybody else. But that his heart may discover itself. He wants his way and not anybody else's way. Oh boy, We see verse 3 all the time. We see verse 3 all the time. And we're seeing it today in our nation, in our city. It says, when the wicked cometh, then cometh also contempt. And with ignominy, reproach. And see, here's the thing. When the wicked cometh, there's contempt for right. And when the wicked cometh, okay, and they don't want to have any part of this, there's reproach. There's the way that they will reproach us, and they bring a reproach on themselves. They bring a reproach on themselves. So there is choices. People who want to just stay apart and just do everything that's wrong and not see anything that's right. People who have no desire to learn about a situation or to apply wisdom to the situation. And then basically just do the wrong thing. And have an aversion or despising of the right thing. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, Paul gives some instruction to Timothy. Timothy was a young man and he was pastoring a lot of older people. And he says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou what? An example, okay, of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. There is no age limit on this one. Logan, you can be an example. You can be an example of God. Okay? Jeremy, you can be an example of God. Even me, old man, I can be an example of God. Okay? We can all be an example of God. And what are we supposed to be? In word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. It's about conversation. Now, this is focusing on what we say, but really what we say reveals who we are. And what we say reveals what we do. In Proverbs chapter 18, verses 4 through 8, it says that the words of man's mouth are as deep waters. It will have an impact. And the second thing, that's the, and it says, and the wellspring of wisdom is a flowing brook. What are we supposed to do as Christians with God's wisdom? Show it to others. But in order to show it to others, we need to believe it. In order to show it to others, we need to incorporate it in our own lives. And it needs to be drawn out. And it should be deep in our lives about wisdom. In verse 5, it says, it is not good to accept the person of the wicked to overthrow the righteous in judgment. Folks, that's happening today. People trying to stand for good get ridiculed with contempt and disdain because the person saying something doesn't want any part. You know why? Because they know they're wrong. Deep down inside. And it's not good to accept the person, the wicked. That will destroy the church, the testimony of a family. It'll destroy the testimony of a church. It's already destroying the testimony of the nation. Don't let it be in here. Folks, sin is sin, and sin has no place in God's house. Sin should have no place in your family. Sin should have no place in your life. And so it says, a fool's lips. Now we've seen this before. What does a fool like to do? He always wants to cause what? Trouble. Argument. He wants to cause trouble. He wants to cause argument. A fool's lip enter into what? Contention. It's just, have you known people that just want to argue about everything? Mm-hmm. And by the way, they're always right. And you're always wrong. Mm-hmm. Okay? And his mouth calleth for strokes. The things he says should get corrected and should have a negative consequence. But does anything happen about it? A fool's mouth is his what? Destruction. How many times have we said something and then we wish we never said it? And then you couldn't fix it. And you've lost a friend or you lost a relationship over that. You know, we need to be what? Wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Folks, we're supposed to, if anyone what? Lacks wisdom, let him ask of who? God. Who gives to what? All men. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Now, how many of you remember in your life, maybe growing up or something like that, you got in trouble and you made up a story to try to cover the problem? And then, Mia's raising her hand, okay? You try to cover the problem, and then what happens? Over time, your story changes. To then, you wind up contradicting yourself. And then say, well, wait a second, didn't you say this? Well, which one is it? Is it this? Or is it this? It can't be both. And now you're in trouble. See, a fool does that, and he doesn't stop doing it. And that's why he's a fool. He never learns. He never learns. The words of a talebearer are wounds. Be careful on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Be careful on social media. Be careful what you share. Because that's how you could spread something that's either gospel or fake or false, and it will hurt people. Be careful. Be careful. The words of a talebearer are what? Are as wounds. And this is just not like a scrape. This is like being stabbed with something. Stabbed with a spear, hit over the head with something that's sharp and has an edge on it, sliced. And they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. They wound just not on the outside. They wound on the inside. And folks, what we need to do is we need to edify one another. Words can hurt, and they can hurt deeply. So, what's your defining trait in your choices? What kind of choices are you making? What is the defining trait in your conversation, your just normal talk, when you're not in church? We see, starts out with about wisdom, but then goes on and talks about all the negative sides of this. Number three. In Luke chapter 6, verse 45, Christ says this. He says, a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Now, here is a truth. You can't get good out of evil. And you won't get evil out of good. If you say you're good and you're doing wrong, you're lying. It doesn't work that way. So the issue is what are we committed to? See, a defining trait is what choices we make. A defining trait is what conversation we have. A defining trait of us is what commitments we have. In verses 9 through 12 of Proverbs, it says, he also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. So, not working is the same as working wastefully. It doesn't produce any good. Next, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. the righteous man runneth, to it, into it, and is safe. Remember we talked about Sunday night about the walled city and then the tower, the stronghold. The Lord is our stronghold in Nahum. And then the rich man's wealth is a strong city, and as a high wall in his own conceit. Is this a positive thing or a negative thing? It's a negative thing. Because he's trusting in his riches, he's trusting in his reputation more than he's trusting in what is right. And it talks about his conceit. What's a conceited person? I'm right, you're wrong, and I am so much better than you. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. So here's a constant cause and effect. We already know that a haughty spirit comes before fall, and pride comes before what? Haughty spirit comes before destruction, and pride comes before fall. That's what the previous father says on this. Before destruction, the heart of the man is haughty, and then before what? You want God to honor you. You want God to lift you up. You need to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Before honor is humility. So if you want honor in your life, then you need to be a humble person. If you want honor in your life, you need to be one that is servant, that's serving. You want honor in your life, you're wanting someone that edifies other people instead of yourself. You want honor, you need to make yourself a base, as Christ did. Look at what he gave up for us. Now, if you want to be destroyed, if you want to have a hard fall, go ahead and live a life of pride. Go ahead and amass things for you and don't care about anything else and see what happens in the end. You'll lose everything. Go read the book of Malachi. It talks about that. God does, he resists the proud but giveth what? Grace to the humble. So, what are your traits and your choices? What are your traits in your conversation? What are your traits in your commitment in your life? In Psalms chapter 64, verses 9 through 10, it says, "And all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they shall what?" Everybody read it. "Wisely consider of his doing. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory." This is about consideration. This is about looking about what is the consequence, what is the result of what we do. You know, some people go through life and they never even consider what their actions have an impact on. Never even consider it. In Proverbs chapter 18, verses 13 through 16, it says, look at 13. Boy, we need this in our government. Okay? "He that answereth the matter before he heareth, it is folly and a shame to him." James chapter 1 says, "Let every man be what? Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger." This person, and I'll be honest with you, I'm guilty of this. Was guilty of it. I think I'm less than now. But have you ever talked to somebody and they start talking before you even finish? You know, this is like name that tune. You know, I can name that tune in one note. I can tell you exactly what you're thinking in one word. No. Listen, Derek. "He that answereth the matter before he hear it, it is folly and a shame unto him." Verse 14. "The spirit of a man will sustain in his infirmity." You have two outlooks. You can have a positive outlook even when you're sick. You can have a negative outlook when you're sick. How you deal with things in your life shows what's really in your heart. And it says here, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? Something that another translator would say, a broken spirit. So what should we be doing? Someone that wants to destroy somebody wants to destroy your spirit. Be careful, parents, of how you talk to your kids. Be careful, kids, how you talk to your parents. Be careful, co-worker, how you talk to your fellow workers or how you talk to your neighbors. Do you use words seasoned with what? Grace? Or is it a sharp knife? See, sometimes we wound people and we don't even know it. We don't even know it. And then you may not ever see them again. What happened? What happened? The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge. The fool doesn't want to do what? He doesn't want to get understanding. But the heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. You're always listening for something that is good. Always listening to something that will make us more upright. The upright in heart will what? Glory in God. It's what Psalm 64:10 says. A man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. Now, hold on a second. This is not a bribe. This is not talking about a bribe. We often see in Proverbs especially about a gift. This is a gift given to them. This is a gift given to them. Abraham, Jacob, Joseph. They had gifts given by who? God. And what did it do? It made them great men. We all have spiritual gifts. We all get the gift of salvation, but after that, we get spiritual gifts so we can do what? So we can all function as a body and we can expand a ministry. And what this is talking about here is it's talking about what God has given us. We should not reject. We should not hide. We should use it, and it makes what? Maketh room. That is the whole thing about Jabez. Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my borders. And God did what? Granted his request. This is the same thing. You use what God's given to you, and God will bless it. And he'll make you do things, or you can enable you to do something that you never thought possible. And take you to places that you never thought you would ever go. And stand before people that you never thought you would ever stand before. They were just faithful to him. Look at Paul. Paul went before Caesar. Paul went before kings. Christ told his disciples, he says, you're going to be drawn because of the gift that I'm giving you. You're going to be drawn before kings and governments. And don't take thought of anything of how you're going to answer. You're just going to do it. Look at the three Hebrew children. We're not going to do this. They had the gift of faith. We're not going to do this. And then after they survived the furnace, what did Nebuchadnezzar say? You follow their God. Folks, how we are committed, our choices, our conversation, our consideration influences people positively or negatively for God. A foolish person, a wicked person, is a negative influence. A godly person, a righteous person, is a positive influence. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 16, 36, it says, to subvert a man in his cause. To subvert a man in a cause, the Lord approveth not. God doesn't want you to get in the way of other people. Romans chapter 14 says, we should not do what? Put a stumbling block in front of other people to cause them to fall based on, well, I think that we ought to do it this way, and my way is better than your way, and I think we ought to meet at 9 o'clock instead of 10 o'clock on Sunday morning for Sunday school. Because that's the way I think it is. A stumbling block. Something silly. This is about a cause. What is our cause, Christian? Christ. It's not about you. Ye are not your own. You're bought with a price. What should our life reflect? Christ. What should our thinking reflect? Christ. What should our choices reflect? Christ. What should our conversation reflect? Christ. What should our consideration reflect? Christ. What should our commitment reflect? Christ. Proverbs chapter 18, verses 17 through 19. He that is first in his own what? Cause. Seemeth just, but his nature cometh and searcheth him. Have you ever seen, we keep on the same theme. This is a person that thinks that he's right and everybody else is what? Wrong. That's pride. It causes destruction. It causes a fall. It's a haughty spirit. It's all these things. God doesn't like us. It's an abomination to him. But people still keep on doing it. People say, but what? But his neighbor's going to come over and reveal him for who he is. Now, so in causes and in judgment, what do we need to be? Impartial. James talks about you don't have respect to persons. There's all sorts of proverbs in here about not perverting judgment, not accepting bribes. And the point here, verse 18, it says that the lot, okay, they cast lots. Actually, in Old Testament times, they had the Urim and they had the Thummim. Okay? And when they couldn't figure out what to do, they went to God and they said, okay, God, where do you want us to go? Because we don't know. There's people said this, people say this. They go and they do this and they find the answer. We need to be impartial. The lot that they cast was impartial. Causes contentions to cease. Why? Because no one, it's an impartial thing. One side, both sides see the same result. And they say, well, this is the way it's got to be. If they accept it. See, there are people that won't accept the Word of God. There's Christians that won't accept the Word of God. We need to accept the Word of God. It said, the law causes contentions and parteth between the mighty. It resolves issues. What does a fool's lips always bring? Contention. This solves it. A brother offended. Now this is talk about blood, but it will also apply in a spiritual realm. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. One is to be conquered, okay? And their contentions are like the bars of a castle. You can't get in. You offend someone, and it's hard to fix it. It's hard to fix it. So we need to understand that our traits define us. Our traits show us where we really are in our attitudes towards people. Have there been someone that you've offended or you've upset and you haven't fixed it? The longer it goes, the worse it becomes. And the longer something unresolved happens, it can lead to the root of bitterness. And bitterness will divide. So the issue is, and cause. What is our cause? Our cause is Christ. And anything that gets in the way of that cause is wrong. Especially when it deals with the family of God. Deuteronomy. Mount Gerizim, Mount Ebal. Curse, blessing. Okay? He says, I call heaven. Moses is talking to them. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore what? Choose life. Now that should be an obvious choice. Then why are so many of us walking around as dead people with no spiritual life in it at all? That both thou and thy seed may live. This is about consequence. What our choices make, what our conversation makes, what our commitment makes, what our consideration makes, what our cause makes, leads to this. It leads to this. In verses 20 and 21 of Proverbs, it says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Here's a choice. You know, you are what you eat. Okay? You are what you eat. You are what out of the abundance of the heart, the what? The mouth speaketh. James chapter 3 says this. It says, hereby we curse men and bless God. Our words either have life or they have death in them. And we need to understand that should cause us to carefully choose our words. That should cause us to talk about when we should speak, how we should speak, what words we use. Because death and life are in the power of them. We got to be strict because we're the witnesses of Christ and minister of reconciliation. I don't want to stand before God and have to answer for something I said that caused them to be spent an eternity in hell. Or something I did that would cause them to stray off the path and not get saved. Life and death is in our tongue. And what did Moses say? Choose life, both you and your kids. Which means if we're going to choose life, we need to demonstrate that in our families. We need to demonstrate that in our church. So we need to understand consequence. And the consequences that we live in define us. We are the result of the decisions we have made in the past. We are here tonight because we have made, each and every one of us made a decision to follow Christ. And that's put us on that path. But there's a whole bunch of people out there making the wrong decision. And it's our job to show them that. Lastly, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Wow! Do you see the magnitude of these words? Do you see the stark contrast between foolish and wise and unrighteous and righteous and godly and ungodly? We need to consider that. Companions. Because the last couple of verses here talks about companionship. In verses 22 through 24, it says, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord." Now, that's just not any spouse. That's a godly one of the different sex. Don't you define what wife is. Let the Bible define what wife is. Let the Bible define what husband is. And then let's live godly. The poor uses entreaties. They are begging for help. And the rich answereth what? Roughly, because everything is a hindrance or a distraction or something that they don't want to deal with. And then we have a verse that should be very familiar. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Now, some translations say that a friend that does this well shall have ruin. We need to choose our friends wisely. 1 Corinthians 6 talks about not being unequally yoked. He says, "What fellowship has holiness with Belial? With right, with light and darkness." What fellowship? They don't. And I don't like the terms about what friend is. Facebook friends. You don't know them from Adam. And think about that. You're my friend. Oh, friend request. Who are they? I don't know. It can't be your friend. Can't be your friend. Because see the second part of this verse? Don't make friends easily. Friends, there are friends that will stick through thick and thin. Closer than a brother. Those are the kind of friends you want. One that's not a fair weather friend. One that'll be with you in times of trouble. You know, we have a friend. He's the friend of sinners. His name is Jesus. We sing the song, "What a friend we have in Jesus." What are the characteristics of that song? All our griefs and sin to bear. See, the issue is that to be a true friend is someone that can be relied on. Is someone that can be trusted. Is someone that's dependable. You know, Israel went through, they had their friend in Jehovah God. All they needed to do was follow him. Yet, when trouble happened, they went down to Egypt and tried to get the Egyptian army to fix them. They tried to make a peace pact with the Assyrians, and it didn't work. They wanted to do their own thing. All because they didn't follow what Solomon had learned. And with Solomon's offspring, this is where all the trouble began. With Solomon's own actions, it's where the trouble began. One person can influence the eternity of other people. One person can influence the eternity of the entire world. Folks, you need a relationship with a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. One is born for adversity. His name is Jesus Christ. Do you know him? Is he a friend? Abraham is a friend of God. And he followed him in faith. We need to follow in faith too. What kind of friend are you? What kind of companions do you hang out with? Where's your consideration? Where's your commitment? Where's your conversation? Where's your choices? Where's your cause? As we close tonight with the section on wisdom, and also the contrast between the righteous and the unrighteous, we have a choice. And that choice is to follow God or not follow Him. I hope tonight that we'll make the choice to continue to follow Him tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. Amen? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, I just ask You this time of invitation. Father, help us, Lord, to put all these things at Your feet. Help us, Lord, to make right choices, right conversation, right consideration, right commitments, right causes, right consequence, have right companions. Lord, I just ask tonight that You just let Your Holy Spirit have full reign in all of our lives, Lord, and in this place. Lord, I pray that You just be with those that are listening on the internet, Lord, these that might see this message later on. And Father, that we will be wise and choose You and not be foolish. Lord, help us to be surrendered to You. We thank You. We ask all these things in Your Son's name. Amen.